So in this episode, I want to tell you my new favorite story about leadership.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So over the weekend, I spent a few days at the hospital with my daughter. While I was there, I got to read a number of books. I finished four books while I was there, just passing time. And one of those books gave me my new favorite leadership story. Now, when I say I have a new favorite leadership story, I have a lot of stories. Okay, I've been accumulating these for a long time, but this is my new favorite. Okay, so before we get into that, let me tell you this. There's a woman that's hired at a organization, and she makes this move. It's a promotion. She goes to this new organization for a promotion, and it's let's call her Samantha. That's not her real name, but this is a true story in everything except for her name. She goes to this new organization where she's gotten this promotion, and she decides, hey, look, I want to be a good leader. I'm going to set an example. I'm going to be there early, stay late. I'm going to, make this thing efficient and make it hum. And she wants to do right. I believe she sincerely wants to do right. And so she gets there on the first day, and she's dressed up properly. She is early. She's the first one there, and she is waiting there in the lobby before anybody else gets there. And as everybody gets there, they see her sitting there in the lobby, and she has a notepad. And everybody who's late comes in, and she's writing down their names who's late. And so in her mind, she's setting a standard, right? She is making sure that everybody is on notice that a new sheriff's in town. And she's doing that in order to try to be a good leader. But that's not being a good leader, right? Now, I made a similar mistake when I was a resident assistant at Liberty University when I was like 20 years old. My mistake was that I wanted to be a good leader, and I read a book just before I started doing it. It was about, it was called Dare to Discipline, and it was about raising children, small children. And I thought, well, you know, this guy who wrote the book, he's a respected authority on this. And so why wouldn't it translate from, well, the difference between 15 years of life history does not translate. And I did kind of what Samantha was doing, was trying to like just clamp down. What Samantha was doing was essentially micromanaging, trying to be a good leader and set an example and that kind of thing by micromanaging. And that would devastate relationships, and with predictable results. It destroyed morale in the organization. It caused a great deal of turnover. It was a train wreck, but it was well-intended. Now, that wasn't my favorite story. That was just a background on which I want to paint my favorite story. So my favorite story comes from this book. It's called Elite. It's about a guy named Hayes. He was a Navy SEAL, and he's talking about the what he went through as a Navy SEAL. So he finishes BUDS, that's basic underwater demolition, and it's that's where you go through to become a SEAL, and you get the trident, the pin that the Navy SEALs wear that shows that they're a Navy SEAL. And so he's completed that, and he gets to his first SEAL team. And so he says he's a new guy, he's pretty cocky, and he gets to his first place where he's going to be, his first SEAL team. So he's riding his motorcycle there. He gets there a little bit late because he got caught up at the gate. He gets into his team about 2 minutes late. Now, the expectation is that they're supposed to be there 15 minutes early. So he's really, really late compared to what his expectation was, or the expectation of the team was for the new guys. And so he says, I was late walking in the door, but only by about 2 minutes. Jim Boa, my platoon chief, made a comment that went something like, "Nice of you to join us this morning." And he found his chair, and life went on. So they went through the meeting. And so he, thought very little of it for a while. But he went on with the meeting, and then after the meeting, Jim Boa calls him aside and just, you know, he just said, you know, just, hey, stay behind for a little bit. I want to talk to you. And he didn't rebuke him. He wasn't writing down names of everybody late or anything like that. But he said, hey, look, it's obviously not a big deal, but being late's probably not the best way to start the day. And he said it in a just calm, kind way. And Jim Boa says, hey, no drama, but go ahead and fill a rucksack, which is a military backpack, with 50 pounds of weight and run up the paratower one time for every guy in the platoon, and then we're even. Now, the paratower is 5 floors. That's 50 pounds on your back, 20 guys in the platoon. And he said it seemed a bit harsh for a 2-minute infraction, but he figured this was some kind of test or hazing or something along those lines. So he went and did it dutifully without complaining. So he goes downstairs and he starts to fill up his rucksack. And he says he threw it on his back and he was just about to go. And he hears, can't do it now, brother. That would be in place of your workout. And that wouldn't even be a punishment. You have to do it after work. And okay, so he takes his backpack off and he goes to PT, physical training. So they go do their exercise and then they begin their work day. They start preparing for a night drop or a night dive, which is, I mean, it took them all day to prep the equipment for this night dive. It's a long dive. They didn't finish until well after midnight. And they always have to, when they come in and finish, they have to clean up their gear and then clean up their buddy's gear. And, you know, they get it all done. And it's well into the wee hours of the morning. And just as he's finishing, now, his platoon chief didn't mention the punishment again all day. And just as he's finishing, ready to walk out the door, his platoon chief says, hey, don't forget about the rucksack, brother. And he says his heart sank. He felt, oh, no, this punishment. And so now he's starting to get angry. And despite his anger, he also realizes, well, okay, one, I'm angry. Two, I did the crime. I have to do the time. And three, I really can't show weakness. I mean, I have a Navy SEAL trident on my chest now. I have to, you know, show that I can do it. And he doesn't want to get any more hazing from the rest of the platoon. So he gets his rucksack. And he says that he was walking down to the tower, and what does he see in the distance over at the tower but Jim Boa standing there at the entrance of the tower? And now he's getting even more angry. He's really angry now because, like, you know, what, the guy doesn't trust me? Is he going to weigh out how much to see if I have exactly 50 pounds or what's going on? And so he gets closer, and then he notices something that's different. So what he notices is that Jim also has a rucksack. And he's thinking, huh, what? And now I want to read this paragraph. He picked it up and threw it on his back. He told me that my failures are his failures and that he is the leader of the platoon and ultimately responsible for my actions. My pain would be his pain. That was all he said. Nothing more. He turned and ran up the first flight of stairs and I followed. We ran up every flight of stairs together that night, 5 stories, 20 times, with 50 pounds on our backs after a 14-hour workday. Wow. There's a world of difference between what Jim Boa did for his new SEAL team member and what Samantha was doing. Now, they're both motivated by good, you know, trying to be a good leader. But Jim's actually doing it. He's not just talking about leadership. He's not just giving out the penalty, ensuring a strict line of discipline. He doesn't have to be mean about it, right? But he's doing it with him. He's getting in the trenches with him. He's helping him. He's showing him. Look, I am pretty sure that now this came from a story in a book called Elite by Nick Hayes, Elite, High Performance Lessons and Habits of a Former Navy SEAL. And I'm pretty sure that Nick Hayes was never late again. And the reason he was never late was not because somebody was writing down his name because he came late on time, but because Jim Boa showed that he cared and he took responsibility as a leader. And now he was teaching Nick as well to take responsibility as a leader. This is a lesson that I'm sure always stuck with him, and I hope it always sticks with you, that when you're in charge, you're responsible. And so for so many reasons, this is my new favorite leadership story. Okay, so I want to end with a quotation for contemplation for today, and it's this. It's by Albert Schweitzer, which is an ironic juxtaposition against a book by Navy SEALs, but okay. He says this, quote, the three most important ways to lead people are by example, and by example. I think that's right. I mean, you can talk about leadership all day. You can have a great theory. You can tell people what you think about leadership, but we're going to believe what you do far more than what you say. And the most powerful way is to do it by doing and saying, but if I have to believe one or the other, it's going to be your example. All right. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Leadersmith Podcast. I hope you like it. And if you really like these episodes, please consider subscribing. And I hope that this helps you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.